Moving Iron Podcast is proud to be part of the Global Ag Network. The network is live, so check out globalagnetwork.com for more details and updates. Now on to the show.
Moving Iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving Iron, time and time again. Through the years, you'll find us here, Moving Iron.
Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast Tax News with Glenn Birnbaum. Glenn, how are you doing today?
Hey, good, Casey. It's a bright sunny day here, so.
That's few and far between here of late, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll take it, so.
You guys are getting, you're probably on that, like everybody else, you get the 3 days of rain, and then you get, or 3 days of no rain, and you get about 6 days of rain. So it's a special, sounds like.
There you go.
All right, man. Well, I was going through my Twitter feed the other day, and it sounds like the Section 199A grain glitch has kind of got some closure to it.
Yeah, they finally released the proposed regulations and, you know, the proposed rules that provide a little more clarification on what the actual statute or, you know, the bill that was signed into law in March of 2018. So here it's June of 2019, and we finally have what's called the proposed regulations. There's a comment period, and then, you know, presumably they'll try to issue final regulations after feedback is received. So we've been waiting on this for quite a while. There's really two kind of parts to it. There's a lot of the rules that deal with, you know, the cooperative grain elevators primarily, how do you deal with the 199A in that context? That's a lot of the regs. It was, I think, about 156 pages. But then there's a section in there that's specific more to the patrons or, you know, the farmers that sell grain to a co-op. So I'm going to talk mostly just about, you know, the patron side today. Really not much new. They had a few examples about how to compute this. You know, if you sell some of your grain to a co-op and some of your grain to a non-co-op, right? Those examples seemed pretty reasonable. You know, I think it's what most people are already doing. There's different ways you compute it, you know, different percentages and things. But just not a lot of new information. They didn't really get into how to handle equipment gains. So if you trade off equipment now, that's treated as a gain on sale. Or if you just sell your equipment, that's a gain on sale. And how do you have to, does it matter whether you sell to a co-op or not on your equipment sales is the question. So basically, Casey, they didn't really give us much information, but they are at least, you know, now it's a more formal process to ask for feedback. And we'll, you know, hopefully be able to get a little more clarity on things. A couple things, though, they did kind of reconfirm. I think most people understood this, but, you know, it was kind of good to see it in lights again. You know, they did mention that the what's called the deduction reduction or the patron reduction, where generally speaking you get 20% of your net profit. You know, that's this deduction that you get. Well, if you sell to a co-op, you might only get 11%. You go from 20% down to 11%. We call it here at the office the deduction reduction. There's a lot of complexities with how to compute it. But they did say, you know, you have to do this computation in certain circumstances despite whether the cooperative grain elevator has actually passed out any deduction to you. There was maybe some people saying, well, does it matter? Maybe if the grain elevator doesn't give me anything extra, then I don't have to reduce my deduction. Well, no, doesn't matter. Either way, you have to deal with this deduction reduction. The other thing was what we call the transition rule, which is really just applicable for 2018. They kind of, again, just kind of restated, you know, hey, this, you've got to deal with this transition rule. You know, there's no way out of it that first year. So you might remember this, Casey, that if you sold grain to a co-op that has a fiscal year end, let's say they have a March year end or something, then any grain sales from January through March, basically, you're kind of out of luck on this 20% deduction, because it's like it was under the old rules before, because that co-op grain elevator, if they had a year end of March 31st, 2018, their year actually started in 2017, their tax year. So that cooperative grain elevator's kind of tax rules were based on the 2017 year, not the 2018 year. So really, it probably explains maybe why they delayed releasing it so long, because there wasn't really anything earth-shattering in there. But again, we do expect to, you know, there'll be CPA firms, you know, providing some commentary, and maybe we'll get a few more things clarified when the final rules come out.
Yeah. Well, at least you got some clarification now. You know which way to move.
Yeah.
From, you know.
Yeah. At least we know what's going on. Another rule that, or another some regulations that came out. These are actually the final regulations on the state and local income tax. You might remember this, Casey. The state and local income tax is now capped. You know, ceiling of $10,000. It was kind of a pretty big deal. You know, for some of the high tax states.
Yep.
Including Illinois here. So what some states were starting to do is say, well, if how about we do it this way? So, if, you know, I'm limited to $10,000, but if I make a donation to the state or some sort of, you know, quasi-state organization, right, so I make a charitable contribution to the state, then the state turns around and gives me a tax credit, right, for possibly up to 100% of what I just paid, that would be a way to effectively recharacterize my deduction from a state and local income tax deduction, you know, say a state income tax deduction, which is capped at $10,000, but I effectively recharacterize it to a charitable donation, which generally doesn't have a cap. So these states were trying to, you know, get around these rules. So basically these final regulations came out that kind of confirmed what the proposed regulations said, that basically you can't do this. If you do it, they'll kind of recharacterize it back. There is like a 15% rule that we don't really have time to get into, but just, you know, the IRS is basically responding to workarounds from the states, and, you know, they're trying to patch the loopholes, I guess, Casey. So
yeah,
that just came out in the last week or so.
So that's something that'd be retroactive if they figure it out.
It's potential that some 2018 returns might have to be amended. I'm not really sure how they're going to do that, because the proposed regulations were out last year. So,
Yeah.
Okay. For Illinois, the state, you know, I'm at, they didn't have any of those programs, so we're not as, we didn't have to deal with it, luckily, on our end.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
What
else is out there right now, man? I mean, it seems like there was some other things that kind of popped up, and maybe you were.
Yeah. There's been there's like an IRS, I think it's called the Taxpayer First Act. It's got a nice,
about time,
flashy name, Taxpayer First Act, but it's, some people are calling it a modernization of the IRS.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, you know, just maybe with e-file and just different things to make it a better IRS. So that got signed here in the last week or so. And then, just yesterday, this is maybe just a hint at what might be coming. You know, the Democrats now, obviously they control the House, and so they control the Ways and Means Committee, which is a committee that basically, you know, is in charge of the tax rules.
Yeah.
So they passed a bill, you know, just out of committee, so it's got a long way to go. But just to give a flavor, it's looking to change some things, like with the child tax credits, earned income tax credit, I think in particular to make like the child tax credit fully refundable. So doing a few things like that. And then along with that, passing what's called the extenders bill. Because there's certain tax deductions and credits that basically every year, every 2 years, they fall off. And then, you know, somebody's got to pass it for the next year. And basically, those did not actually happen for the 2018 year. So some certain, like, energy tax credits, like if you put in new window blinds or something, there's like a $500 credit. Well, that is not available for 2018. Everyone kind of thought it would get passed, but it never did. So that's one of these extenders. So all that was kind of baked into this one bill that passed committee. But the question is, how are they going to pay for it? You know, what's the offset? And some of the things they're talking about is actually changing the estates, lowering the estate tax exemption back down in like 2022, I believe. It's set to go back down in 2025. If you remember, it was going to go up to like a, you know, pretty much it's like $11 million. It doubled. And so they would take it down from, instead of 2025, it'd go back down. It goes to 2022. So other thoughts are like, well, maybe we raise the corporate income tax rate up a little bit. So there's, you know, just when you think there's going to be a little, you know, calming of the waters, there's still a lot of potential for, you know, laws to change. Obviously, with, you know, president being Republican, House being Democrats, and the Senate being Republican too, may not happen, but, you know, election's not that far away. So we'll see what happens. But just a lot of activity, really, for this time of year.
Yeah. Well, good stuff as usual, Glenn. If folks wanted to reach out to you and ask you some questions or pick your brain on some of these new regulations that are final now, how would they do that?
So, yeah, it's best to call our office here in Heidelberg. We're at the phone number 309-694-4251. Or you can always seek me out on Twitter at Glenn Birnbaum is my handle.
And check out his Twitter feed, folks. He's got a lot of good, all the accountants get together and start banging on each other when Glenn posts something out there. So it's always a little back and forth there. So it's good stuff there. So Glenn, thanks for being on, man. And we'll talk again next week.
All right, Casey, thanks.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Moving Iron Podcast, now part of the Global Ag Network. If you'd like to continue any of these conversations, you can hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Moving Iron LLC. You can also send me an email at Moving Iron Podcast at MovingIronPodcast.com. You can also visit the Moving Iron Podcast YouTube channel and watch Market Roundup with Chip Mellinger, Sean Hackett, and Angie Setzer. Also, Tax News with Glenn Birnbaum. Please visit MovingIronLLC.com. Here you can find information, details, and updates for the 2019 Moving Iron Summit in Nashville, Tennessee. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can leave a review and subscribe at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and GlobalAgNetwork.com. So until next time, let's go move some iron. This is Casey Seymour. Out.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving iron time and time again. Through the years you'll find us here. Moving